Apologies if I've already told you. But on the weekend of the 23rd of February, a group of the young people and some of the leaders, we went down to First Bangor Church for a youth weekend. Great fun, no sleep, but great weekend. Stuart, the assistant minister, asked, just could I have the laptop here, Graham? Thank you. The assistant minister asked on Saturday, Gordy, tomorrow morning, would yourself, some of the young people, some of the leaders, maybe play a song, sing a song during church? Thought, Stuart, that's no problems. We duly got together, practiced, praised the mighty name of Jesus. It sounded really good. Sunday morning, I wambled into church with my guitar, plunked my guitar down, getting organized. And in the praise band in the church, there was this dude, man in his late 60s, early 70s, expensive-looking bass guitar, sharp-dressed suit, not a Sunday suit, an expensive piece of tailoring. He looked the boy, manicured beard. He was the boy. Son, would you like me to join in with you? I says, thank you very much, but it's okay. No, I don't mind. Thank you very much, but it's okay. We've practiced the song. Everybody knows where it's going. We're all good. No, I don't mind. No, thank you very much. It's okay. Okay, whatever. I said, look, you know, we know the music dropping out and the voices. And thank you so much. Really appreciate it, but it's okay. Okay. I wandered away. He went, and he was amazing. And then I stood at a distance. He's familiar. He's George Jones. Mr. Club sound. Took a wee while for the lights to come on with Gordy, but I went across with a chord sheet. I said, Mr. Jones, I'm so sorry. He says, never, ever, ever, deadpan, never, ever, ever call me Mr. Jones. My name's George. How are you doing? Whatever, and he played with us. Only filled, what, 8 nights in the Waterfront Hall, 3 nights in the Millennium Forum, 2 nights in the Helix in Dublin, whatever. Not good enough for the Ballywell and Youth Praise Band. Took a wee while for the lights to come on. But in the story that John has read for us this morning, that's what's going on. That's what's going on with this blind man. And yes, immediately he receives his sight, but it takes a wee while still for the lights to come on. John read so beautifully. Love it. But just unpack that first little bit in John 9, and it may be useful to open scripture and keep it on your knee there. Just 5 quick points. I love verse 1. He saw a blind man. They saw a man blind from birth. Jesus saw. That's enough. Jesus saw. In the middle of a throng and a crowd of people, Jesus noticed this man that usually everybody else walked past because he was there with probably his beggar's bowl. Jesus saw. For you and I, compassion of Christ. The conversation, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents? Because it's obviously somebody's fault. And sickness is obviously tied in with sin. Is it or is it not? Just going to leave that hanging. The concoction, verses 6 and 7, Jesus spits in the ground, makes mud. I mean, let's face it, that's gross. And he puts it on the man's eyes. He says, go to the pool of Siloam, wash, and just be obedient. He didn't say wash. Well, did he say wash and you will see? But go and wash, and the man did it. His conversion, he went, he washed, he came home seeing. And then the confusion, verses 8 through to 10. His neighbors and those who formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself said, I am the man. Verse 10, how then were your eyes opened, they demanded. confusion. When God steps in, we think, yes, peace and sweetness and light, but here, confusion. Is it not? Confusion. Even frustration. It's very simple, just that first little bit. But in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, we read about Jesus coming to preach good news to the captives, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of God's favor. Here, in John 9, Jesus is doing what he came to do, prophesied hundreds of years earlier. He is fulfilling his calling, the experience of the blind man. But here's where it's funny. And I want to just, if you would please for a moment, I was going to say some willing volunteers, but some volunteers from youth club last night, leaders are going to come. And follow on maybe if you can in scripture or listen. There's a lovely, just come on up folks and get organized. And I think maybe we might need to make sure we've got the right sheets. But this is a dramatized reading. Not drama as in all thespian and their hands up, but just this passage of scripture split into parts. And it just reads, listen to it as a conversation that's going on, because actually part of it's really quite comical. So just listen or follow on. It'll be maybe a slightly different version, but Karen, thank you, and I hope everybody got the right pages.
Then they took to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. The day that Jesus made the mud and cured him of his blindness was a Sabbath. The Pharisees then asked the man again how he had received his sight. He told them,
"He put some mud in my eyes. I washed my face, and now I see."
Some of the Pharisees said,
"The man who did this cannot be from God, for he does not obey the Sabbath law."
Others, however, said,
"How could a man who is a sinner perform such miracles as these?"
There was a division among them. So the Pharisees asked the man once more,
"You say he cured you of your blindness. Well, what do you say about him?"
"He is a prophet."
The Jewish authorities, however, were not willing to believe that he had been blind and could now see, until they called his parents.
"Is this your son?
You say that he was born blind. How is it then that he can now see?"
"We know that he is our son, and we know that he was born blind.
But we do not know why it is that he is now able to see.
Nor do we know who cured him of his blindness."
"Ask him. He's old enough, and he can answer for himself."
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, who had already agreed that anyone who said they believed that Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That is why his parents said, "He's old enough, ask him." A second time they called back the man who had been born blind.
"Promise before God that you will tell the truth."
"We know that this man who cured you is a sinner."
"I do not know if he is a sinner or not. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see."
The Pharisees asked the man born blind whom Jesus had made to see,
"What did Jesus do to you?
How did he cure you of your blindness?"
He answered,
"I have already told you and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Maybe you too would like to be one of his disciples."
They cursed him and said,
"You are that fellow's disciple, but we are Moses' disciples.
We know that God spoke to Moses.
And as for that fellow, however, we do not even know where he comes from."
"What a strange thing that is. You do not know where he comes from, but he cured me of my blindness. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He does listen to people who respect him and do what he wants them to do. Since the beginning of the world, nobody has ever heard of anyone giving sight to a person who was born blind. Unless this man came from God, he will not have been able to do these things."
"You were born and brought up in sin, and you are trying to teach us."
And they expelled him from the synagogue.
Thank you very much, folks. Really appreciate it. I don't know what Greek is for duh, but there needs to be a word for the Pharisees. For this man, just experiencing so much, and they completely miss the point. Their first reaction, verses 13 to 16, that the folks have read, and that was just the scripture broken into the parts, is criticism. And actually, they get more caught up about the mud than they do about the miracle. Making mud with your finger was work on the Sabbath. This can't be right. Hang on, blind man sees, mud, work. And come on. And they go immediately to criticism. Their questions are about where he is through the story, who he is, what he is, but they just miss the point the whole time. They don't celebrate what has happened. They get twisted up that it didn't happen the right way or their way or the fact that God can step in and just break the rules. How often, folks, do we do that? I have a friend in a church who was a youth worker, and he got really annoyed on one occasion. They had a commissioning service for a group of young people, and there was about 12 young people going all over the world during the summer, and a couple of people got really crotchety about the fact that in the service, as they led praise, there was two pieces that lasted 9 minutes. And they got so caught up about that that they missed the fact that 12 of their young people were going to serve Jesus all summer. We so easily miss the point and get caught up in silly things. That's exactly here what happened with the Pharisees. Confusion, verse 17. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What do you have to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. There's confusion as to who he is. There's a conference, and again, that's what the guys have read so well. They call the man in. They talk to him. They get the parents. I love the bit where Barbara read, he's old enough. Ask him yourself. I mean, it's just duh. Confusion, conference that happens, and then they call the man back, and his confidence is just, I was blind, but now I see. And five times through this whole passage of scripture, through the whole chapter, is that phrase comes twice, but there's five big allusions to, look, all I know is I was blind, and now I can see. I am different because I have met Jesus. Derek Tidball says, he who lit the cosmos as he flung the sun and the stars into space is also the one who can bring light into the life of one blind individual and make him see. Catch hold of that. Don't miss the point. This is God stepping into our world and bringing transformation. And they threw him out. Duh. And they threw him out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 15 and 16, that little passage that talks about being the aroma of Christ, to one the smell of death, to other the fragrance of life. There were people in that community that this experience was the fragrance of life. This is amazing. Let me meet this man. But to others, to the Pharisees, it was very clearly the smell of death. Turn to the very end of the passage. Because the last little section from verse 35, it's almost like an explanation. And again, let's not miss the beauty in this. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, don't miss that, because we're right back to compassion. Jesus had heard what had happened to this blind man and how badly he had been treated, and he went looking for him. This is the God we worship. This is the character of Christ. This blind man who has been miraculously healed, who has been transformed, who is treated really badly by the religious leaders, and Jesus goes looking for him. Please don't miss that. Illumination, verse 38. The man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. One of the things frustrates me about Ballywillan is the lights in here. You're like, oh, where's he going to go with that? I get really annoyed with the particular spotlights at the front because, well, you know me, I forever make mistakes. And I'll come out of church having switched the lights off and then to go back in to get something that I forgot. But the annoying thing about these spotlights is at the front is that when they've been on and you switch them off and then you switch them back on again, you have to wait for about 10 minutes. And gradually, the lights come back on. A bit like me in Bangor. Gradually, the light comes on. This is who this man is. But in the story here, in verse 11, the blind man refers to Jesus as a man. In verse 17, as a prophet. In verse 33, in this conference with the Pharisees, he is from God. But in verse 38, he is the Lord. And there is this illumination that happens. This discovery. This is what I pray. And we had a great night on Thursday night with Christianity Explored. There are still some books left. If you want to join us, it's not too late. If you leave it too long, you will miss the whole flow. But this is my prayer, that for us doing Christianity Explored on Thursday night, this illumination, this discovery of who Jesus is as we explore the Christian faith will happen. Twice, or once in chapter 9, verse 5, but also in chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus declares, "I am the light of the world." And as we look through the whole Gospel of John, we have little phrases. We talked before in John chapter 1 about it really being like an overture that introduces themes as it goes. And that whole theme of light, he was in the world, and though the world did not recognize him, he came as a witness testifying concerning the light, speaking of John the Baptist, though he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. John chapter 1. And in John chapter 3, in the story with Nicodemus, this is the verdict: light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. And so for this blind man, yes, physically, he has been healed. But spiritually, there's an illumination that is happening in his life. But in verses 40 and 41, there's this rejection. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Sorry, I should jump from maybe verse 39. "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who will see, or those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard this and said, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you could not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." There are none so blind as those who will not see. And maybe you find yourself in church this morning, but are you still spiritually blind? And you need, if you like, the scales to fall off like Saul, Paul. To one, the smell of death. To other, the fragrance of life. What is your reaction this morning to the Christian message, to coming to know Jesus, to having your eyes opened that you may see him, the light of the world who has stepped down into our darkness. I once was blind, but now I see. For the blind man, like earlier on, with the blindfold taken away, things become complete. Maybe is there significance in the dust and the dirt being spat on and made because we're made from the dirt of the earth? That's what some of the commentators say. But all the man says, I'm blind, but now I see. Made complete by Jesus. But the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the religious people, missed the point. What? Are we blind too? For God made this light, his light, shine in our hearts. Open the eyes of my heart that I might see you. That's the challenge this morning. Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1:18 is, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. What do the words of John 9 mean to you this morning? What is their challenge? And maybe just Alex and the band are going to come and lead us in two songs. In the second song, we will lift the offering, but please use these songs. We will stand together, but use the words of light of the world as a prayer just now as you reflect on this passage of Scripture, please.